Blog Talk Radio.
B.I.B.L.E. by Go Fish. And here we go next with, this is Shylin with the Hypostatic Union here on Trippy Tory.
Yeah. The other day, this guy was like, yo man, what's good with all that theology? Give us something practical. And I was like, word? Okay, check this out.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind intent,
yeah.
Jesus spoke God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind intent,
yeah.
Jesus spoke God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union,
yeah. Our topic of discussion is beyond human comprehension. The infinite God has made a super condescension. The condescension nobody could have anticipated. Precipitated by the evil we participated in. Through Adam and Eve, our first kin. Cursed when they committed the first sin. Only if you have the Holy Spirit's antennas can you truly understand fallen man's dilemma. See, only a human can substitute for human lives. But only God can take the wrath of God and survive, yeah. See the humanly unsolvable obstacle. With God, all is plausible. Nothing's impossible. True haters are fighting, but the story is certain,
yeah.
Two natures united in one glorious person. Jesus, the God-man, official soul reaper. The hypostatic union, it gets no deeper.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind intent,
yeah.
Jesus spoke God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind intent,
yeah.
Jesus spoke God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union,
yeah. The Son of God, 100% divinity.
Yeah.
Self-existent, second person of the Trinity. Magisterial, imperial at the helm. Infinitely transcending this material realm.
Yeah.
He's so original, getting to know him is pivotal. Behold the invincible, prototypical holy principle.
Yeah.
Possessor of all divine attributes. The omnis, wisdom, grace, beauty, love, wrath, and truth. He's the one that all creation was made through.
Yeah.
And by him, the earth's foundation was laid too.
Yeah.
As the angels, they saw it on pay-per-view. Created Satan too. Matter of fact, he created you.
True.
And nothing can escape Jesus' sovereign rule, from the farthest galaxy to the smallest molecule. So who deserves to gain fame?
Who?
By the word of his power, the universe is maintained. In other words, put the cosmos back on the shelf. Without Christ, reality would collapse on itself.
Yeah.
Jesus, the marvelous author of all consciousness, beyond what the sharpest biologist acknowledges. He needs no archaeologist or smart apologist. He sees our hearts, omnipresent cardiologist. Master of logic, macrocosmic novelist. Following any other god is just preposterous. Yeah, Selah, let's just let that sink in for a second. Yeah,
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind in set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%, yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introduce it, the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind in set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%, yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introduce it, the hypostatic union.
Yeah. The Son of Man, 100% humanity.
Yeah.
The mind stretches to understand how can it be. You gotta see what he does, becoming what he was, and while never ceasing to be what he was. Is your mind flipping?
Yeah,
they got you tripping, me too. But the scripture is true, P. Philippians 2. By faith we believe this amazing Jesus, who made Uranus and Venus, became a fetus. It's such a secret that few, if anybody, knew it. Months later, he's covered in amniotic fluid. The subjects of the gospel, praise of apostles, armed with eye sockets, armpits, and nostrils. Who is this Jesus? God clothed in human weakness, super sweetness and peace for the true believers. See the one who never tires, knocked out sleeping. See the source of eternal joy weeping. Which one can explain how the Son, abundant with fame, who made thunder and rain, now has hunger pain? See the creator of water become thirsty on the cross when he saved from the slaughter the unworthy. My awe should be sky high, and I ought to just cry wide with water in my eyes when the author of life dies. Raised on the third, God, man, soul seeker, the hypostatic union. It gets no deeper.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind in set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%, yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introduce it, the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind in set,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%, yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introduce it, the hypostatic union.
Yeah, yeah. That's how we do it, man. Lyrical theology.
Word up.
Spiritual analogy. The hypostatic union.
Shout out to my man Direct.
Yeah.
Good luck, y'all.
What up, Canada?
Yeah.
There, let's see what we have here. How did you say this happened again?
I was playing basketball.
Basketball, eh? Never really understood the game myself.
Ow!
I see it hurts a little. Well, broken arms usually do smart quite a bit. Bleeding a little there, too. Tell you what I'll do. I'll stick this band-aid on the cut, and it should stop the bleeding, and I'll give you some of these pills to make it hurt not so much. There you go. All set.
Doesn't he need a cast?
Oh, I'm sure he will be fine. Now it's time for my lunch. Oh, boy, I just love the peanut butter and jelly with the pickles.
Are we just treating symptoms rather than giving the cure? Like putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm, pro-life rallies and marriage amendments, though good, are really just treating symptoms. Our culture no longer believes that the Bible is the final authority for life. We need to rebuild the foundations of our faith. To learn how, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
Thanks for listening to Be Told Radio. I'm host Melissa Cantrell. Remember, you can check us out at truthbetoldradio.com. TruthBeToldRadio.com, and also we're on Twitter as TruthBeToldRadio, and let's see. hold on. And then also, you could check us out on Facebook. And it's Truth Be Told Radio. Oh, yeah, the Twitter one, it's Truth Be Told Radio. But it's like, instead of B-E, it's the letter B, so it's Truth, the letter B, Told Radio. And let's see. Also, what will happen is I'm not going to be able to do the whole show because didn't have enough money to pay for it. And also, what happened is Block Talk Radio, they only let you do the show if you, like, pay the whole thing. They only let you do three files at a time. So I wasn't able to pay today, but maybe I'll try to find something on, let's see, on the internet, and let me read that to you. Let's see. Okay, this is Words of Comfort from Ray Comfort. It's a blog that he does. It's on the website, it's onthebox.us. The show is called, what they do is actually called The Comfort Zone. It used to be called On the Box. And that show is on Monday through Friday. It says 11:30 Pacific time. And it's live at TZZLive.com. TZZLive, L-I-V-E dot C-O-M. And like I said, it's called Words of Comfort. It says there are two basic worldviews in this life. We either justify men or we justify God. Take, for instance, this statement. The Bible says the best of mankind is evil. If you love God, you will immediately nod with approval of that statement. You will justify God. If you haven't been converted, you will more likely be quick to justify man and, of course, yourself. You will say that people may have some faults, but they are basically good. The thought that anyone is evil outside of Hitler and a few others is repulsive and even disgusting. That's because you have your own definition of evil. God's definition is anything that falls short of moral perfection. Lying, stealing, ingratitude, hatred, greed, envy, jealousy, lack of love, blasphemy, self-righteousness, unbelief, disobedience, pride, and a multitude of sins. If you think that you are up to God's standard, which he will judge, will use the use of judgment day, take this quick test with a tender conscience. www.needgod.com. Needgod.com. And if you are honest with yourself, you will end up saying with the psalmist, against you and you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Psalm 51:4. And so we must catch up on Truth Be Told Radio, and I'll maybe try to read some more, but can't play the files because Creepy Toll Radio, the Blog Talk Radio, they only let you play 3 files at a time when you have paid. So, just in case you want to help out, we have a fundraiser at heronetwork.com, and it's helped pay for our show. The goal is for a whole year, it's $3.99. Someone has paid partly for a month, but it has to be, I noticed it has to be taken out ahead of time, and that I didn't do that, so sorry about that. And ours is for Truth Be Told Radio, and I put help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I put help spread the gospel. And the wish number is 151. 151 19884. So this KNC, well, I guess I'll read some more from the Blog Talk Radio. It's from Ray Comfort's blog. And let's see, this is Words of Comfort agreeing with Galileo. Ray, you said earlier that no amount of decision could make your change your mind. Those who are converted by God cannot be talked out of their faith. That's what he put in parentheses. That suggests that no matter how much evidence or reason is presented to you, you will never even consider that you are wrong. That suggests that no matter how much evidence or reason is presented to you, you will never even consider that you are wrong. That the only way to heaven is to believe what you believe, rather than any good works. I think my beliefs when I was a Christian were more in line with Galileo. I do not feel obliged to believe the same God who has endowed us with sense, reason, and intellect has intended us to forego their use. Leonie Trent, as an atheist, you have convictions that can change with time. If you are exposed to extra knowledge as a Christian, I don't have mere convictions. I know the Lord as does every genuine Christian. We can't unknow him. You quoted my words when I said that we were converted by God. It is God who reveals himself through the new birth of John 3. Again, he reveals himself personally. This doesn't mean that we hear voices or see visions. He transforms us on inside, making us completely new. That's why it's called the new birth. We then speak to him through prayer. He speaks to us through his word, and we trust him implicitly. You said of yourself, when I was a Christian, but theologically speaking, because you fell away, scripture makes it clear that you had a false conversion. See Luke 9:62. I'm sure you would agree that you didn't know God, because to maintain you did flies in the face of your atheist convictions. If you can stand the sound of my voice, how about listen to True and False Conversion on livingwaters.com and get back to me with your thoughts. By the way, God bless Galileo for not buckling in the scientific blindness of the Catholic Church. I agree with his words completely. And see, gonna read another one. Let's see if I could do that. This is from Recomfort's blog, and it's on the Vox.us. On the Vox.us is the website thing address. Sorry. Where is the comfort appointment card? Ray Comfort, I read the following on a site, PAGIVA. The title of the article was 20 Actual Facts About Kirk Cameron. That sounds like April Fool's jokes. Number 17 on the list you mentioned. Can you confirm if the following is actually true? Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort, co-founded the ministry The Way of the Master and co-host a television series of the same name. In 2010, Comfort sent out appointment cards to elderly people advising them of the end and time of their death and informing them to contact evangelists to avoid going to hell. Chris McMurr. Lies often have a measure of truth in them. That's the case with this story. Years ago, we had a gospel tract called the appointment card that asked the same question. I have asked hundreds, if not thousands of people, when do you think you'll die? I ask this because it's only when we face reality that we will do something about it. You can see this question asked of a young lady on evolutionversusgod.com. And she isn't offended in the slightest. If I remember rightly, someone in New Zealand back in 2010 sent a card to an elderly person that complained to the media. I'm not sure of the exact details. The New Zealand media saw our ministry name and address on the card and contacted me for a statement. I live in the United States. I told them that we had, at the time, sold more than 150 million tracts and had hundreds of different titles. We have no control over to whom they are given, and that particular title was designed more for a young person who hadn't thought about life issues rather than an elderly person. We had actually dropped it years earlier. Atheist then grabbed the story and embellished it by saying, Comfort sent out appointment cards to elderly people advising them of the date and time of their death and informing them to contact evangelists to avoid going to hell. I did no such thing. There are so many lies out there about what I have and haven't done that I don't have time to follow them up. But I am grateful to you for having the courtesy to ask me for the whole story on this one. I wouldn't believe the other things about Kirk on that list either. Words of Comfort. This one's from June 24, 2014. Atheists talk about God. Amazing how nut jobs see God in every little thing that happens, and few talk about God as much as atheists. They go on Christian Facebook sites and talk about him, watch programs about God, write books about God, make movies about him, create sites, put up billboards, have meetings, do debates, and think about God and how he doesn't exist. And that's the end of that one. But that, I think that's funny that, yeah, it's true. It's like, if you really don't believe in something, why do you have memes about it? Why do you have all these things to talk about something that you don't think exists? It's like craziness, madness. Because they know God exists. They know he exists and they hate him. That's why that they do this. They war against him. And they don't, they love their sin. They don't want to bow down to him. They don't want to take his payment. His payment for sin is when he died on the cross. And the thing is, you gotta humble yourself. You gotta humble yourself and realize that you have sinned. And there's a day of judgment coming that God has set out. But he's very patient. And he's so patient that you're alive today to even hear this. And so if you have not trusted God yet and repented, turn from your sin for salvation, do that today. Here's another one from Words of Comfort. This is back June 23rd, 2014, on a Monday. Words of Comfort, 40% of the commandments. An atheist asks, can you tell me why blasphemy is a sin? Can you tell me how it's actually hurting anyone? Can you tell me why graven images are a sin? Can you tell me how they're actually hurting anyone? That's 40% of the commandments, and you can't even accurately justify them. And this is what the answer is. A sincere Christian answered, simply, those things hurt God. We are not here to hurt God. We're here to praise God. That's how it's justified. And then it says, but that's not true. Nothing hurts God. The correct word to use is that sin angers God. A judge isn't hurt when a criminal viciously rapes a woman, slits her throat, and then laughs. The judge is angered by the crime. Since sin is extremely serious to God, so serious it demands the death penalty and then damnation. See Romans 2:4-11. And here's what it says. Or Romans 2:4-11, New King James Version. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath. You're seeing the truth be told over you on Host Most Controller. And just in case you don't know, reading from onthevox.us, part of Ray Comfort's blog, because wasn't able to pay this week, for Truth Be Told Radio. Their fees are $39.99. And so I am reading from Ray Comfort's blog, since I don't have the music to play right now and other files, because they only let you do like 3 files at a time when you don't pay for the premium. So here we go with more from, this is says Words of Comfort, Seeming Contradictions. The Bible has many seeming contradictions within its pages. For example, the 4 Gospels give 4 different accounts as to what was written on the sign that hung on the cross. And this is part where it says, and love his, and above his head they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And that's from Matthew 27:37. Another one says, the description of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews," Mark 15:26. Now there was also an inscription above him, "This is the King of the Jews," Luke 23:38. And it says, Pilate wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." From John 19:19. Those who are looking for contradictions may therefore say, see, the Bible is full of mistakes, and choose to reject it entirely as being untrustworthy. However, those who trust God have no problem harmonizing the gospel. There is no contradiction if the sign simply said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The godly base their confidence on two truths. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and two, an elementary rule of scripture is that God has deliberately included seeming contradictions in his word to snare the proud. He has hidden things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Luke 10:21 says, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. And it says that he purposely choosing foolish things to confound the wise. And here's what it says, 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. If an ungodly man refuses to humble himself and obey the gospel and instead desires to build a case against the Bible, God gives him enough material to build his own gallows. This incredible principle is clearly illustrated in the account of the capture of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Jeremiah the prophet told Zedekiah that God would judge him. He was informed that he would be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. And it says that's from Jeremiah 32:4. And Zedekiah the king of Judah shall not escape from the hands of the Chaldean, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face and see him eye to eye. This confirmed Jeremiah 39:5-7, which says, but the Chaldean army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had captured him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes in Riblah. The king of Babylon also killed nobles of Judah. More over, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. So this is the underlying principle behind many contradictions of Holy Scripture, such as how many horses David had and who was the first to arrive at the tomb after the resurrection of Jesus, etc. God has turned the tables on proud, arrogant, self-righteous man when he proudly stands outside of the kingdom of God and seeks to justify his sinfulness through evidence. He thinks He thinks discredits the Bible. He doesn't realize that God has simply lowered the door of life so that only those who are prepared to exercise faith and vow humility may enter. It is interesting to note that seeming contradictions in four Gospels attest to the fact that there was no corroboration between the writers. And it says, words of comfort, logic, reason, and atheism. This is from Thursday, June 19, 2014 post. Actually, Ray, atheism is default position one acquires through logic and reason. There is, however, a strong argument that belief systems of theists in the supernatural are insane and frankly quite stupid. You may want to pray a little harder for that wisdom you were speaking about. Megan Nutter-Kamp. Your only default position with atheism is to believe that nothing created everything, or to redefine nothing as something, which is what Dawkins does. Such a belief system is scientific lunacy at its best. Atheism is far from logic and reason, as the East is from the West. No one needs to pray for wisdom to see this. A child can figure it out by looking around him at the order and beauty of nature. Our precedent for atheism is not only based on Psalm 14:1, but upon common sense. And Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." And it says, "Also, it may be hard to see. My words are motivated only by love and from a deep concern for where you spend eternity. The greatest favor anyone can ever do for an atheist is to pop his little bubble of delusion and bring him back to reality." And then, let's see. There is a video that says, that's posted here, says, "Nothing created everything." Let's see if I can play this through. True. proof that atheists believe the scientific impossibility that nothing made everything. Ray Comfort is a dishonest propagandist. He has been told hundreds of times that no atheist claims that atheism says nothing created everything, yet he just repeats it anyway, over and over. Captain Howdy, Atheist Central. And then it says, after that, nothing created everything. It's no miracle. It requires no magic. Man in the sky. Particle anti-particle pairs just pop into existence constantly. P.Z. Myers, something comes from nothing. It is admittedly speculative hypothesis incorrect. Is incorrect that answer to the ultimate question is that the universe is ultimate free lunch. It came from nothing and its total energy is zero, but it nevertheless has incredible structure and convexity. And it says from Alexei V. Philip Co. and Joy M. Passage, a universe from nothing. Here's another quote. It says, Lawrence Krauss gives a talk on our current picture of the universe, how it will end and how it could have come from nothing. A Universe from Nothing by Lawrence Krauss. K-R-A-U-S-S. Spelled like that. So now you have an idea of just what went on in the early universe and how we got from nothing to something. But if you want the really short version, it runs like this. First there was nothing. Then there was Big Bang, and energy cooled down into matter, and we're made of matter, so here we are. Carl S. Kruzinski, News in Science. Here's another one that says, prior to the singularity, nothing existed, not space, time, matter, or energy, nothing. So where and in what did the singularity appear? It not in space. We don't know. All About Science. That's the name of the thing, All About Science. And then here's another one that says from Robert A.J. Matthews, physicist, Ashton University, England. It is now becoming clear that everything can and probably did come from nothing. From Cornell University, as an astronomer, space and time both started at the Big Bang, and therefore there was nothing before. The universe burst into something from absolutely nothing, zero, nada, and as it got bigger, it became filled with even more stuff that came from absolutely nowhere. Discover Magazine, April 2002. And here's another one. Maybe the universe itself sprung into existence out of nothingness, a gigantic vacuum fluctuation which we know today as the Big Bang. Markedly, the laws of modern physics, the laws of modern physics allow for this possibility. And this is from Pedro's 1982, 247, I guess that's the page. How the universe can come from nothing. Some physicists believe our universe was created by colliding with another, but Keiku, a theoretical physicist of at City University of New York said it also may have sprung from nothing. And that's from scienceline.org. And another one says, even if you don't have a precise idea of exactly what took place at the beginning, we can at least see that the origin of universe from nothing need not be unlawful or natural or unscientific. Paul Davies, physicist, Arizona State University. And there's many, many more from a video called Nothing Created Everything on YouTube. You can check that out. And let's see. Oops. And then towards the end, it has, let's see what it shows. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, Psalm 14:1. And that's a video from WWaters.com. There's just many, many, many more that say the similar same thing, saying that things like nothing created everything, or there's just happened from Big Bang. But God says that at the beginning he was on created. It says that in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. That's from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God, he's the one that made it and created it. And he's outside creation. He's the uncreated one. And let's see. Here's another one from Words of Comfort, and it says, banana peel. Every sinner that has one foot in the grave, the other on a banana peel. And it says Walter Martin, he's a Christian, in case you don't know. He made, like, the book, there's one, talks about cults and kingdom cults. Let's see. Then here is Where's the Comfort from Tuesday, June 17, 2014. You're aware that Henry Ford was an atheist, and then had a question mark, and it says Jeff Klein. That's who said it. I believe God is managing affairs and that he doesn't need any advice from me. With God in charge, I believe everything will work out for the best in the end. So what is the worry about? And it says that that's a quote from Henry Ford. Don't believe the lies on atheist sites, for example, of how they continue to lie to make you think intelligent, famous people were atheists. And it says, see Evolution versus Goddess, evolutionvsgod.com. I want to thank you for listening to me on Truth Be Told Radio. Gonna take a short break. Here you go.
There, let's see what we have here. How did you say this happened again?
I was playing basketball.
Basketball, eh? Never really understood the game myself.
Ow!
I see it hurts a little. Well, broken arms usually do smart quite a bit. Bleeding a little there, too. Tell you what I'll do. I'll stick this band-aid on the cut, and it should stop the bleeding, and I'll give you some of these pills to make it hurt not so much. There you go. All set.
Doesn't he need a cast?
Oh, I'm sure he will be fine. Now it's time for my lunch. Oh, boy, I just love the peanut butter and jelly with the pickles.
Are we just treating symptoms rather than giving the cure? Like putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm, pro-life rallies and marriage amendments, though good, are really just treating symptoms. Our culture no longer believes that the Bible is the final authority for life. We need to rebuild the foundations of our faith. To learn how, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
This is Truth Be Told Radio. I'm host Melissa Canchola. And find out more about us, see truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. And also on About Me, this is my personal website. Talks about me and my testimony, how I became a Christian. That's at smilesandstuff.com, smilesandstuff.com. I use smiles and stuff because it has to do with the virtual world thing called Second Life, and I use in their name Smiles, and a lot of usernames I use Smiles or Smiley Smiles or Smiles the Smiler, so things like that. And so that's why I used that on my, well, actually I had in that thing they have like virtual shops too, so I had a virtual shop called Smiles and Stuff, and that's why I call my website smilesandstuff.com, smilesandstuff.com. And like I said, you can see more about me, have some pictures, and also I have about me, like my story, how I became a Christian. And on Facebook, actually use for the username, it's in case you want to add me, it's called Smiley Smiles, S-M-I-L-E-Y-S-M-I-L-E-S. And I'm going to read more from, this is from Ray Comfort's blog, and it is called On the Box.us, what's the website that it's on? And their show is called The Comfort Zone with Ray Comfort, because it used to be called On the Box, but they changed it. So, and then also it's at live at 11:30 Pacific, 2:30 Eastern time, and it's at tzlive.com, tzlive.com, and it's Monday through Friday. Here is another excerpt from Ray Comfort's blog. This is from Friday, June 13, 2014. Where is the comfort if God knows everything? And then here's a quote from Cosmovert. If God knows everything, why didn't he prevent the attacks of 9/11 or the Holocaust or slavery? And then that's the end quote. And it says, this is what Ray Comfort says. So you think God should step in and stop murderers? If you answer yes, we will need to figure out what you think he should do. Perhaps you believe he should have killed Hitler and taken out 18 terrorists before they commit their murders. But if he did do that, you and your kind would whine about God killing 18 innocent Muslims who were flying peacefully on a plane, and that he killed an innocent little Austrian painter who loved Charles Darwin. To be consistent with evil prevention, God should have also killed the 200,000 murderers who took innocent human lives in the United States during the 1990s. Once again, he would have to have killed them before they committed their murders. Then there's the 58 million plus women who killed their babies in the womb. He should have killed them before they murdered their babies. One other thing, if you think Jews and babies in the womb are non-human, you aren't alone. Check out 180movie.com, 180movie.com, to see what two have in common. Over 4 million views. And, yeah, to be consistent, they would just complain that God killed so many people, and, oh, how he's horrible. But in reality, we should all be destroyed because of our sins just this very second, because we do murder of the heart. It's called hatred. When we just, like, get angry without cause and hate on someone. And I remember from when I was younger, like, there was, like, part of my my yearbook that I put, and I was like, it's like I put I hate, and then there was this person's name, and I was like, what? I was so surprised. Like, that just shows you that, you know, even as a young person, you know, we hate on someone, and it's murder of heart. We want them to be hurt and sometimes even die. And because of what people do to you, like maybe you got hurt or something. And that just shows you that that's just one sin. There's so many other sins that we do, lying, stealing, and also when we covet with something that's not ours, we want somebody else's thing. That's also a sin too. And so if it was really fair, we would all be dead and in hell right now. But God is really, really patient. There's even a song that I play by Shylin. It's called The Lord of Patience. And Shylin is spelled Shailinne. And it talks about how patient God is. And through, like, all our pain and the way we are is the way we just, we're the opposite. We would want things done right away, but God is being kind that we are not dead right now, and that's His kindness. So here, I think, let me see if I can play this. I think I might be able to play it from my headphones. Let's see how loud it is. Hear that a little bit, but the main thing says about the song says our sovereign gracious gracious God, you are slow to anger, yeah, you're Lord of patience and you love us patiently. And it says yeah, that's the main part. Our sovereign God, you are the Lord of patience. Yes, your wrath, O God, we deserve. Christ has taken it. And the wrath of God, that means that's like intense anger against what we, because we, what we deserve death and hell. Because sin is so great. It's not because what we've done is so great, even though it is bad. It's because the one we have offended is holy. He's never sinned. He is like totally the opposite of us. Like, he never has sinned. And it is like, just like a judge would be angry at someone like murderer or rapist, or he has, he is, we are storing up wrath when we do not take his payment for that he paid for his sins by dying on the cross. And he provided a way, but if we like ignore it, and then we will have to pay for our sins ourselves, and when we die, and then when judgment comes. But like I said, he created a way by Jesus dying on the cross, that so we could turn from our sins and trust in him who paid for it. And he'll make us a new creation. Just God's kindness, he's so patient. But once one day when we die, that's when the patience will run out. It'll still only for so long. So trust in God today, and he'll make you a new creation. And also, he cleans you up, and he makes you from an enemy of God. He makes you a son of God, a someone who is adopted into his family. So trust in him today. Thank you for listening right now for Truth Be Told Radio. And there is something also from the Words of Comfort. It says from Thursday, June 12, 2014. And it says, listen to your experts. Here's a quote from Ed Severson. Ray, you're a liar. The scientific theory of evolution is becoming stronger and more people are learning about it and applying it to medical science. Evolution is evidence-based. Your ancient religion is faith-based. Do you even know what a myth is? You should feel really bad about lying to your sheep on this matter. You're a bad person. And like I said, that was by Ed Severson. And then this is Ray's answer. That a classic ad hominem, to abuse the opponent and ignore the argument. How about you instead offer one piece of scientific evidence for Darwinian evolution, a change of kinds, not adaptation or speculation? You can't do it because there isn't any. It's based on nothing but unobserved blind faith. If you don't believe that, listen to your own experts on evolutionversusgod.com, evolutionvsgod.com. I don't mind you calling me a bad person because I'm a sinner by nature, but I take your public accusation of me being a liar very seriously. It's libelous, and so I have to ban you as I have banned others for saying the same thing. I don't think it will upset you because you have consistently disliked everything I have said. Still, I'm sorry to see you go. And here's one from Wednesday, June 11th, 2014. Where is the comfort? Fairy tales. It's not about Ray. It's about the fairy tales Christians and other religion followers believe in and the seeds they try to plant among the gullible. Estelle Boring. And then this is Ray's answer. It's condescending to look down on people who don't believe as atheists do. The scientific impossibility that nothing created everything, or the silliness that nothing is actually something, that there is no ultimate right or wrong, and a death in the end. When they don't have any idea what happens after death. Creation / nature makes the existence of God axiomatic. It's an intellectual embarrassment to have to point out his existence. That's why the Bible calls the atheist a fool. See Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. And says, I often have proud people burst into a crowd when I am open-air preaching and act as though they are intellectual savior of those poor peasants that haven't the brains to judge what I'm saying. People aren't as dumb as you make out. They have thought out the issues of life and death. And when they understand that God has deliberately chosen foolish-sounding stories to trap the proud in their arrogance, the entire Bible makes sense. They soften their heart, do what it says, repent and trust alone in Jesus, and they come to know God personally. Argument over. Let's see. This is from Tuesday, June 10th, 2014. Where is the comfort? Your God doesn't exist. And says, Jarrett Roberts says, nature treat us this way? I laugh in the face of your fictitious God. And then Ray answers with this. It is scientifically ludicrous to say that nature made itself. For nature to make itself, it had to pre-exist before it made itself. Whatever created us had to be eternal and non-material. Nature is none of these things. God is both. He is outside the dimension of time, eternal, and he is spirit. He will also get the last laugh because you disdain all my counsel and would have not none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terrors come, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. That's from Proverbs 1:25-27. And it says, so forget your image of God like some sort of passive celestial Santa. He is nothing like what you conceive him to be. The God you don't believe in doesn't exist. He is a figment of your fertile imagination, the place of imagery. The God who is revealed in Scripture is the one you have to face, whether you believe him or not. Once again, that's from Ray Comfort's blog on onthebox.us, onthebox.us, and that's the website, and that one was from Tuesday, June 10th, 2014. And I want to remind you that Truth Be Told Radio is on Sundays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific. And we, in case you don't know, we're on a low budget. And in case you want to help us out, we have something going on right now, currently, as of today, on the 29th of June, 2014. It is it's called the Hero Network, and people can... It's called, they post a wish, what they call it. And I have one called Help Spread the Gospel, and it's helped me out with a year of paying for my show. And so far, that one person that helped out says $40. And the rest of it is, the goal is $3.99. That's for a whole year. And you can go to Hero Network. HERONETWROK.COM and look for Truth Be Told Radio. The wish, the number of our page is 1519884, and that's where you go to give. It does it through, a website called WePay.com, WePay.com. So, thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and please tell others about us. And let's see, gonna take a break. The only break we have is this one's from Answers in Genesis, Treating the Symptoms, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
There, let's see what we have here. How did you say this happened again?
I was playing basketball.
Basketball, eh? Never really understood the game myself.
Ow!
I see it hurts a little. Well, broken arms usually do smart quite a bit. Bleeding a little there, too. Tell you what I'll do. I'll stick this Band-Aid on the cut, and it should stop the bleeding, and I'll give you some of these pills to make it hurt not so much. There you go. All set.
Doesn't he need a cast?
Oh, I'm sure he will be fine. Now it's time for my lunch. Oh, boy, I just love the peanut butter and jelly with the pickles.
Are we just treating symptoms rather than giving the cure? Like putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm, pro-life rallies and marriage amendments, though good, are really just treating symptoms. Our culture no longer believes that the Bible is the final authority for life. We need to rebuild the foundations of our faith. To learn how, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
Answers in Genesis, their website is answersingenesis.org, and they have lots of good articles to help defend creation, as in Genesis, in the beginning, the first book of the Bible, and like I said, it's at answersofgenesis.org, and I'm going to go to, I'm going to read one article they got here. Let's see. It says, Chapter 22, Did Life Come from Outer Space? By Dr. Georgia Purdom on June 27, 2014. The simple answer is no. The Bible states that God created all living things on earth by his spoken word on days 3, 5, and 6 of the creation week. However, the concept that life originated in outer space and was then transferred to Earth is popular in today's society. Some believe that bacteria, considered primitive life, or organic molecules necessary for life, came from other planets, meteors, or comets. Some even suggest that intelligent extraterrestrial aliens sent life to Earth. Many people are eager to believe in ideas concerning the origin of life as long as they exclude the Creator God and truth of his word. And that's the end of the quote for that part. And what I say is, yeah, there's a thing called, I might talk about next, but they call it transpermia, I think. Like, there's, like, even movies that are about, like, the one called Prometheus, and there's going to be a sequel to it called Prometheus 2, and they believe, like, the aliens seeded the planet, like, but this is kind of like, it's like, yeah, you rather believe aliens did it than God. And even if they did it, it's like, where did the aliens come from? And then, and who made them? And it's like, or then it has to go endless progression back. Like, who made that alien or that alien? And instead of just believing that God did what he said. And going back to the article, it says, why life from outer space? Why do scientists want to push the origin of life into outer space rather than believe that life originated on Earth? The answer, complexity and time. And it goes into it more right here. It says, complexity. Life on Earth is very complex. Bacteria are considered to be the simplest life form. However, several examples from the bacterial world make it clear that the word simple is a relative term. Some of the simplest are endosymbionts organisms that live entirely within other organisms. And it says Candidus carcinella rudi, a bacterium that lives within the cells of Psyllid insect. It's P-S-Y-L-L-I-D. Insect. Tachia psyllida venusta is considered to have the smallest genome of any endosymbiotic bacteria. It has 159,662 base pairs DNA, which encode approximately 182 genes. The genes encode proteins or amino acid components of protein. Biosynthesis, which the host insect cannot get from its diet. The host insect provides necessary proteins that are not encoded by the bacterial genome. And it says, nanoarchaeum inquietans and archaeal single-celled microorganisms similar to bacteria, symbiont of the Archaea igneococcus, has 490,885,000 base pairs, which encode approximately 552 genes. Although many of the gene functions are currently unknown, the authors of the paper that sequenced the genome stated that the complexity of its information processing systems and the simplicity of its symbiotic apparatus suggests an unanticipated world of organisms to be discovered. Emphasis mine. And it says, Mycoplasma genitalium has 580,076 base pairs, which encode approximately 521 genes. Because of its small genome size, M. genitalium was the bacteria of choice for determination of the minimal genome or minimum number of genes needed to sustain life. However, determination of the minimal genome has been hampered by the finding that many bacterial genomes encode backup or alternative pathways which are also used when the main pathway is removed. Scientists have stated that this may lead up to 45% underestimation of the minimal genes needed to sustain life. As can be seen from these examples, life in even its simplest forms is very complex. And then here it goes on about, says about time. According to secular timelines, the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. Other parts of outer space are much older, up to 15 billion years, according to Big Bang models. Since evolution works by random chance, and even the simplest bacteria isn't very simple, a lot of time would be required for life to evolve. Many secular scientists suggest that Earth is simply not old enough to allow for evolution of living organisms. Thus, many scientists push the origin of life into outer space to gain the time needed for life to evolve. And it says, does life exist in outer space? If life came to Earth from outer space, then many scientists suggest that we should be able to find evidence for living things on nearby planets, meteors, and comets. Although billions of dollars have been spent to search for extraterrestrial life, none has been found. It also shows this little comic by from After Eden by Dan Lisa has like a little Mars rover. And it said, in January 2004, a $30 million rover begins to examine the planet Mars. The mission is to look for information to unlock the origin of life in the universe. And then it says, well, someone's version of the origin of life other than the one who actually created it. And then on the rover, rover has a little Darwin sticker, that little fish with feet. And the article continues to say, Mars. Several unmanned exploration probes, rovers, and landers have been sent to Mars to determine if the closest rock neighbor supports life or have harbored it in the past. And NASA's Phoenix lander identified water in a sample of Martian soil. Another NASA space probe identified specific minerals that suggested liquid water have been present on the Martian surface for a long period of time than previously estimated. Scott Murchie of Johns Hopkins University stated, this is an exciting discovery because it extends the time range for liquid water on Mars and the places where it might have supported life. Although water is certainly needed for life to exist, water alone does not result in life. And it says, other components of Martian rocks and soil make the likelihood of finding life very unlikely. NASA's Opportunity rover produced evidence that rocks had once been in an environment that was very salty and acidic. Dr. Andrew Knoll, biologist at Harvard University, stated it was really salty. In fact, it was salty enough that only a handful of known terrestrial organisms would have a ghost of a chance of surviving there when conditions were at their best. And it goes on to say, methane, a gas associated with biological activity, think belching cows, have been found in the Martian atmosphere. Colin Pillinger, planetary scientist at the Open University UK, stated, the most obvious source of methane is organisms. So if you find methane in an atmosphere, you can suspect there is life. It's not proof, but it makes it worth a much closer look. And that's the end quote of that. However, Nick Pope, formerly associated with British government's UFO project at the Ministry of Defense, thinks methane is proof, calling this discovery the most important discovery of all time. And saying further, we really only scratched the surface. It's an absolute certainty that there is life out there and we are not alone. And then it goes on to say, the biological source of methane is, that was the end quote before that, and then it says, the biological source of methane is believed to be bacteria living deep underground. However, it could also be due to volcanism or an unknown geological process on Mars, since plumes of methane were identified in 2003 and the distribution of methane was found to be patchy. If the methane is of geological origin, then it would actually make the Martian surface very inhospitable for life. They go on, we're next talking about moons. of Jovian planets. Several moons of Jupiter and Saturn, including Europa, Titan, and Enceladus, are thought to be possible source of extraterrestrial life. All are thought to have interior oceans that might harbor bacterial life. Plumes containing water, vapor erupting from Enceladus, and have shown to contain organic molecules such as methane, formaldehyde, ethanol, and other hydrocarbons. Europa's underground oceans are predicted to be violent. The waves generated in the oceans are postulated to provide an energy source necessary for life. Robert Tyler, an oceanographer at University of Washington, stated, quote, "The big thing is to have liquid water, and to the extent that this new paper on violent oceans in Europa adds an energy source, all the better for life prospects," end quote. But water plus organic molecules plus energy does not equal life. Life requires information, DNA, and information requires an intelligent source, and it says in parentheses, God. And the next part is talk about comets. Scientists have made calculations based on cosmological time frames for billions of years. That in the past, comets have liquid waters, interiors. NASA's Stardust spacecraft collected samples from the dust of Comet Wild 2 and found the amino acid glycerin, the simplest of all amino acids. Carl Pilcher, director of NASA Astrobiology Institute, stated, quote, "The discovery of glycerin in a comet supports the idea that the fundamental building blocks are prevalent in space and strengthens the argument that life in the universe may be common rather than rare," end quote. And then it says, "This seems to be an overstatement since only one amino acid of 20 required for life was found, and other components of life, such as DNA, fats, and sugars, have not been found. Again, the formula of water plus amino acids or other organic molecules does not equal life. Life has not yet been found in outer space and is unlikely to exist because conditions appear too hostile for even the hardest forms of life to exist. Even if the ingredients necessary for life, organic molecules like amino acids, were transferred to Earth and added to water and an energy source, life would not miraculously emerge. Life only comes from life, and life only from the life giver." And it goes on to talk about, if life did exist in outer space, could it have been transferred to Earth? And this is like what I was talking about earlier, talking about panspermia, is the common name given to the concept that life originated in outer space and then migrated or was transferred to Earth. Panspermia is not a new idea. Lord Kelvin in 1871 suggested that life came to Earth on meteors. Svante Arrhenius coined the term in 1908 and is considered the father of panspermia. We will look at the three categories mentioned in the previous section and determine if transfer of life from these sources to Earth is possible. And here's the one that's talking about Mars. Several meteors of suspected Martian origin have been discovered on Earth. It is estimated that 5 to 10% of Martian ejecta derived from impacts by comets or asteroids would reach Earth in 100 million years, with the minimum amount of time being 7 months. Small ejecta less than so it's like 1 centimeter. Let me see. And could arrive on Earth as meteors with a burnt outer area, but an inner cool area where bacteria could presumably survive. But on the known Martian meteorites, M.J. Birchall of the Center of Astrophysics and Planetary Scientists at University of Kent, UK, says that, quote, given their size and transfer times estimated from exposure to radiation in space, all will have received a sterilizing radiation dose during their transit to Earth. End quote. Then the part about moons of Jovian planets. Impacts of these moons by comets or asteroids are also thought to generate ejecta that could then travel to other locations but not directly to Earth. The ejecta are postulated to travel farther into space and possibly be transferred to comets or asteroids. The bacteria would presumably survive in an icy interior of the comets, asteroids. The comets, asteroids could then travel to Earth and so indirectly bring life from Jovian moons. Then it goes on talking about comets. During their travel close to a planet, comets could leave behind dust grains that would fall into a planetary atmosphere. If life existed in the dust grains and could survive travel through the atmosphere, then presumably a comet could transfer life to Earth. The transfer of material from Mars, Jovian moons, and comets is plausible and in some cases has been documented. However, dust and rocks are not affected by extreme cold and radiation of outer space, whereas life would be and would probably not survive the journey to Earth. Since life has not been found to exist in outer space, it is doubtful life was transferred to Earth from these locations. And then goes on to talk about, could life have been brought to Earth by intelligent extraterrestrial aliens? The concept that aliens brought life to Earth is called directed panspermia. The term was first coined by co-discoverer of the structure of DNA, Francis Crick, and Leslie Orgel in 1973. They postulated that since Earth is relatively young compared to the rest of the universe, that it was conceivable that a technologically advanced society in outer space developed even before Earth existed, since it took 4.5 billion years for a technological society to form on Earth. Crick and Orgel believed that this alien society then seeded or infected other parts of outer space, including Earth and primitive forms of life like bacteria. In their 1973 paper, they proposed the spaceship payload, the mechanisms needed to protect the bacteria for their long trip to Earth, and possible motivations by the alien society for seeing life in outer space. One of their main evidences to support this possibility comes from the similarity of genetic code in all living things. They stated, quote, "The universality of the genetic code follows naturally from an ineffective theory of the origins of life. Life on Earth would represent a clone derived from a single extraterrestrial organism," end quote. The universality of the genetic code only followed naturally from their theory because of their presuppositions or starting point that their ideas about the past are supreme to God's word. Concerning the history of the origin of the life on Earth, when we begin with God's word, we see that universality of the genetic code follows naturally from a common designer who created all living things by his word. The concept of directive panspermia is still advocated by many scientists today. In the movie Expelled, Ben Stein asked Richard Dawkins, a very prominent evolutionary biologist, the question, "What do you think is the possibility that intelligent life might turn out to be the answer to some issues in genetics or in evolution?" Dawkins replied, "Well, it could come about in the following way. It could be that at some earlier time, somewhere in the universe, a civilization evolved probably by some kind of Darwinian means to a very, very high level of technology and designed a form of life that they seeded onto perhaps this sick planet, S-I-C, oh, I don't think it stands for something, sorry, and it says now, that is a possibility and an intriguing possibility, and I suppose it it's possible that you might find evidence for that if you look at the details of our chemistry, molecular biology. You might find a signature of some sort of design," and that's included. From Richard Dawkins. Virchow stated, at present, panspermia can neither be proved or disproved. Nevertheless, panspermia is an intellectual idea which holds strong attraction," end quote. Sadly, this is true for many who want to exclude God and the history presented in his word in the difference to their own ideas about past, no matter how outlandish. And personally, I'm just gonna say that I heard someone, forgot who it was, but they said that they think that someone could be so evolved, and then that they evolved and then went into the past and then created life or created, or even maybe, yeah, I think it was created life or created God, either way, like, they're saying that they got evolved and then they went to the past and seeded the past. And so it sounds very science fiction, kind of. I like science fiction, but I know it's, like it says, fiction. And, well, this is what they say at the end of the article. It says, could God have created life on planets other than Earth? It says, yes, but why? Remember that God spent the vast majority of creation weeks preparing the Earth for the crowning glory of his creation, man. Everything God created was for man's benefit and enjoyment. Even those things which we don't often consider, like bacteria, were created to benefit man. Bacteria can accomplish this directly through symbiotic relationships in our guts, which help us digest food, and indirectly through cycling of nutrients and chemicals in the environment. Man would seem to gain no benefit or enjoyment from bacteria that exist in outer space, although we can't rule out that some form of non-intelligent life, such as bacteria, was created on another planet. It seemed unlikely, knowing the purposes of living organisms and their relationship to man on Earth set forth by the Creator God. And that article is from answersingenesis.org, and it's from the New Answers Book 3, and it's from Chapter 22, Did Life Come from Outer Space? And it's by Georgia Purdom, and this one's written on June 27, 2014. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I want to remind you, check us out at truthbetoldradio.com for more information about us. And thank you for listening. We're almost done. Got a little bit more time, about 10 minutes. I want to read you a quote. This is from Charles Spurgeon. You must be divorced from your sin, or you cannot be married to Christ. And this Charles Haddon Spurgeon, or Charles H. Spurgeon. And that's from our page we did on Facebook. And here's one from the Bible. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. His eternal power and divine nature, so they are without excuse. Romans 1:20. And so I was talking about, that's similar to what we were talking about with creation, that God, the things in the world, they speak of the Creator and show that he did make it. And here's another one from our Facebook pages. This is from gracegems.org, gracegems.org, gracegems.org. This cross is heavy to bear, and it says, this is from Thomas Reed, R-E-A-D-E. Jesus said, quote, if any man will come to me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, end quote. This cross is heavy to bear when worldliness or pride or selfishness work in the heart. But when the heart is filled with love of the Savior, then the great cross is light and even pleasant to endure. And it says from 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us. And then I got a picture from, this is a little, says reform means daily, and it's from Todd Frio. It says, he's from Wretched Radio. You can find that wretched.tv, because they also have a TV show too, but websites, wretched.tv or also wretchedradio.com. And it says, quote, how do you know you are where God wants you to be? And then it says, because you're there. End quote. And it's funny, but it's true because God has providence. He directs things where to go, and he is sovereign. And let's see. Here's another one from Charles Spurgeon. If you never truly found Jesus, if you do not tell you have never truly found Jesus if you do not tell others about him. Talking about preaching the gospel, and that's one of these things from there's a website called preachthegospel.org. They also have a Facebook page. And here's another one from Grace Gems. GraceGems.org. And it's called These Eternal Fountains by William Nicholson from 1862. And it quotes from Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And that's end quote. And it says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Numerous are the sources of sorrow here on earth, but God will dry them all up in heaven. There will be no mourning, Christian, to drop tears there. For all sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There is nothing in that happy residence to distress or annoy. Jeremiah will utter no plaintive language. Transgressors will grieve the holy no more. Bartimaeus is the poor blind beggar no more. Lazarus' sores have been replaced by mortal beauty. The weeping widow is no longer crushed to death dust by the heavy hand of poverty. The orphan child is no longer forsaken and homeless. Pinching poverty and wasting disease are unknown. The distressing complaint will never accost the ear, I am sick. The sting of death and the terrors of the grave will never present themselves there. There are no graves in the land of eternal life. There is no death of friends there. Martha and Mary go to no beloved brother's grave to weep. Yonder there is no deceitful heart, no secret foe, no fascinating world, no artful Satan. The former things have passed away, and the era of immortality have arrived. God shall give them everything calculated to secure, continue, and increase their happiness. He will lead them into springs of living water, which shall never be exhausted. A spring is termed living water because constantly bubbling up and running on. These springs of living water indicate endless sources of happiness, which Christ will supply to his redeemed people from his own indefinite plenitude. These eternal fountains will make an infinite variety for enjoyments of the blessed. There will be no sameness, and there will be no weariness to spirit. Every moment will open a new source of pleasure. And as God is infinite, so his attributes are infinite. And throughout infinity, more and more of those attributes will be unveiled. And the discovery of each will be a new fountain of enjoyment. These sources will be ever opening through all eternity, and yet through all eternity there will still remain an absolute perfection of the Godhead, and an infinity of them still to be opened. Such bliss is enough. The Christians say, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. That part from Philippians 1:23. And show is about over. It was planned by me, but of course by God. Got to read you lots of good information and things from the Bible and of course from the blogs. And remember to check us out, truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com, and also help us out at Hero Network or even on PayPal. Check out our website. We have a link there, truthbetoldradio.com, to help donate. Because like this week, wasn't able to pay. So if you can help us out, let us know. It's $39.99 a month. And thanks for listening, Truth Be Told Radio. Gotta go out as we came in with the BIBLE by GoFish. Bye for now.
BIBLE, that's the book for me. BIBLE, that's the book for me.